This is an AMI podcast. This is an AMI podcast.
I'm Dave Brown, and this is a podcast version of AMI's Morning Show, now with Dave Brown. Catch the live broadcasts weekdays from 9 to 11 a.m. Eastern on AMI Audio and AMI TV. Welcome back. It's the Now News Panel on AMI. I'm Dave Brown alongside Megan Gilmore and Michelle McQuigg. We've got one more topic to discuss. The Vancouver School Board is cutting honors courses in math and science in its high schools because the school district says they do not comply with the equity and inclusion goal of ensuring that all students can participate in every aspect of the curriculum. The school board says teachers will instead be encouraged to teach individual students to capabilities, including those who excel at math and science. The Vancouver Board and others in the province have changed curriculum significantly since it was introduced in 2015, including getting rid of letter grades. Some experts maintain the new curriculum is aimed at better ensuring students understand their subject material rather than achieving a certain grade. The board says in a statement that the new curriculum mandates an inclusion model of education so all students will be able to participate in the curriculum fulsomely. Of course, parents of honor students have expressed concerns about this policy shift. Megan, you want to talk about this, and it's a topic that you've done some research on previously. So walk us through why you want to explore this and with some of the findings that you've made in the past.
Conversation that happens a lot in educational policy, and it is a conversation about equity. Is it equitable that certain students receive special programming or services that the rest of the student population doesn't? And sometimes it comes up in conversations like we've covered elsewhere in some of my accessibility reports about services for students with different disabilities. And the school board will say, it's not fair that this small percentage of the population receives this service and the rest of the students with the same diagnosis don't. We want everybody to receive the same amount of treatment, so we're going to take away the services from the small portion of the population that do receive it. And it's happening the same here with gifted students or students who are classified as gifted. So a few years ago, I was writing fairly regularly for a publication for teachers, and we were looking into just the educational needs and concerns of this student population. And they are a distinct group. And one of the things that I heard a lot when I was talking to educators and talking to parents is that it's an often misunderstood segment of students. And one of the things that can often be misunderstood is the fact that a student who has received this designation as a gifted student and that is technically classified as a special education need, the same way that a disability would fall into that classification, that doesn't mean necessarily that they're a genius, quote unquote, at every subject. It may just be a couple subjects and they'll be fairly typical at everything else, but there'll be those few things that they really excel at, which is why you would maybe want an option to enroll in, you know, an honors math class or an honors science class if that's something that you're particularly strong in and you're just average everywhere else. Honors English, according to this report, has been scrapped much earlier in the Vancouver School Board. And then there's also just consideration that for gifted students, it's often how they approach subjects. So because some of them will automatically be thinking deeper and asking deeper questions, it can be harder for them to complete assignments that have been given to them because they're automatically just looking at it, making it more complex, and then you can get paralyzed in or like unable to move forward in your assignment because you've made it bigger than what the teacher was looking for.
So, Michelle, as we think about this, the reason why it's an interesting topic is because there probably is no binary to this, right? The decision is binary, but the feelings are not. It as someone who has taken some advanced classes in their life and as someone who was in some classes where they probably did take, on the flip side, a more individualistic approach, my grade six teacher, Mr. Brown, had three different groups of classes in every subject in the same classroom. And he would say, you're really strong here, you're really weak here, I'm going to put you in tier one, two, or three, which was really effective. But I also understand the merits of saying, if somebody's excelling at science or math and they want to be a doctor or scientist one day, like high-level stuff, why are we nerfing programs for them? Why are we putting them back into a mainstream when this is someone who could excel and make an incredible societal impact based on what's going on in their mind in regards to that subject? But Michelle, as you look at this decision, what's going through your mind?
You're so right about the non-binary response. This has been actually on my mind to the point where I wound up having a long conversation about it with a non-journo friend last night after doing some prep for the show. This is a really complicated issue and an example of having some options for more honors courses came from my friend whose brother, for instance, was an absolute genius in math, was going to enter the public school system and was had informed their parents that, no, this kid was going to have to go and follow the grade 9 curriculum in grade 9 like everybody else. He ultimately went to an alternative school and completed OAC math, which that's what it was called at the time, graduate level math, in grade 9. Like, that's where this kid was. So that clearly would not have been a good fit to send him to the public school system. And having that option did turn out very well for this and many, many other kids. What I'm stumbling over a little bit, though, is the argument of equity here. I tried to approach it through the same lens I used to discuss de-streaming when we talked about that. So the notion that getting rid of lower streams, basic and general level courses, has been disproportionately shown to impact racialized kids. And there's evidence to back this up. Now you're looking at the other end of the spectrum, sort of advanced and gifted level courses. And for me, the equity arguments don't necessarily land in the same way. Perhaps I'm looking at equity through the wrong lens, but I don't necessarily buy into the notion that providing a universal or uniform experience for all students is the right answer. And by other measures of equity, I don't feel like this target group is necessarily the one in need of that kind of intervention. So I'm a little conflicted on all of this.
From some of the research that I did, they didn't use these words in particular, but it's one that might be familiar to people who are encountering special education or special education principals, the IEP. When they're talking about teaching kids to their individual levels, that's essentially an individual education plan, right? That's what that is sort of defined as, but they don't define it as this in this policy shift. And I understand where that comes from. That said, the IEP is not necessarily something that can be easily developed for a class of 32 kids, right? There seems to be like an impracticality there. So Megan, as we start thinking about, okay, we're just going to bring everybody back into one classroom, how much pressure does that put on a teacher?
I think it puts an immense pressure on teachers that personally I don't think is theirs to bear. And it sounds so nice to say, oh, you should just teach every student as an individual. But the time and effort that it takes to make a really, truly individualized education plan for each student is immense. You can't just take a template and say, for using a disability example, okay, I have 5 students with visual impairments in my classroom. I'm going to use the visual impairment IEP and apply it for each of them. That's not going to work. It's not going to work.
No.
So I do think that this puts a huge and inordinate amount of pressure on teachers, which is then going to detrimentally impact every student's ability to learn in a class. And personally, I think there are times where it's good to have separate classes for different needs at different times where every student is able to get the resources that they need to the best of their ability.
Let's explore this equity lens, though, because I do think there's something there. And as I move forward here, guys, I apologize. I'm going to start bringing just war theory into this. I know just war theory into an education conversation is a bizarre stretch. Let me just
this is peak Dave right now.
Let me get your radars on bizarre in place. But there has been criticism that honors programs can be exclusionary based on race and social class. So even if the quantitative data suggests that correlation, could it be a situation where the implementation is the problem, the implementation, that we're addressing an implementation problem rather than another systemical educational issue, right? If we're finding that the public education system is causing discrimination against people who are marginalized, racialized, whether that be by class, skin color, etc., that there are these biases that are inherent in the system, so therefore the system is unjust, but the honors class is a way of interaction inside the system that you're labeling the honors system unjust as opposed to saying the system is unjust. You can fight an unjust war justly, but it's still It's still an unjust war, regardless of the actions that you take inside the war. I know I'm getting really abstract there, but what do you make of that conception, Michelle, where we say maybe the honors class is a situation where resources are being pulled from marginalized people and being spread out to a couple of individuals who are oftentimes not from a racialized or marginalized class of individual. So that becomes the problem. But the issue is you're not giving racialized or marginalized individuals the tools they need to get to that honors class in the first place.
I think that absolutely is a factor. There is no question. Like I alluded to earlier, there is evidence supporting the concept of the fact that the education system has racist undertones and has disproportionately sidelined kids of racialized backgrounds. This is documented. This is understood. Where I'm not quite sure, though, is where and how the honor system fits into this puzzle. I'm confident that it does in some way, but I personally feel like I need some more information to truly understand how that interconnectedness plays out in the system itself. But I definitely think that there is a lot of merit to questioning the system and questioning its underpinnings. And perhaps addressing some of that would allow some of these issues to shake out. But you raise other really, really good points in terms of resources and pressure on teachers. You can't fix the system and expect the teachers to do the exact same thing. This is going to have to be part of it. And that would probably include some more resources. So if you're going to undertake a really close look at the system and evaluate it from the ground up, you need to evaluate all parts of it, I think.
Megan, we've only got 3 minutes here, but I do want to give you an opportunity to talk about that systemic side versus an implementation side. But give me a little time on the back end, because I've got one quick question I want to finish this conversation with.
I think some of the students who may be inclined to already be in an honors course, maybe some of the deep thinkers who would be a really good job of discussing the systemic issues as well as implementation. It's one of these moments where there's this disconnect between what we want and actually what we're doing. So yes, we want to teach children that racism is wrong. It is wrong to value somebody differently based on the color of their skin. That's wrong. But is taking out an honors class the best way to teach that? Is that going to change somebody's heart if they have that racist attitude? I don't think so.
Yeah, are you putting a Band-Aid on a racist system as opposed to addressing the actual racist system? But this decision has been made by the Vancouver School Board. It's occurred, right? So I want to go a little bit deeper here in the last 2 minutes of our conversation, guys. If we have decided that we're going to level the in-class experience, no more honors programs, no more remedial programs, could there be an opportunity for extracurricular programs to offer something for students who want to delve deeper into a subject matter? You know, a science club, a geography club, a math team. Michelle, we lost Michelle's video feed, but Megan, I want to give that opportunity to you in terms of extracurriculars. Is that maybe one of the compromises that can be made here for those honors students?
I think it could have merit depending on how you implement it. So extracurriculars are often seen as happening outside of the regular school hours. An honors class would be happening within your regular school hours. So I would have concerns about, are we overloading one segment of our school population with extra activities outside of the school hours of their day? You know, these people also have jobs and other things that they need to go about doing.
Yeah. Michelle, 20 seconds. Are extracurriculars the solutions here for these honor students who are losing something in the classroom?
No, I don't think so. You're supposed to, the aim is to try to keep them engaged with school itself, not after school.
Okay, fair enough. Hey, guys, we are out of time. Michelle, thank you for making time to be with us today.
My pleasure. Good to be here.
And Megan, thank you as well.
No problem. Great puns.
Thank you very much. It's wonderful.
Yeah, well,
Michelle McQuigg is the weekend news editor with the Canadian Press. Megan Gilmore is a freelance journalist and AMI accessibility reporter. What do you think about the scrapping of honors programs? Send us an email, feedback@ami.ca. Send us a tweet @AMI Audio or give us a phone call, 1-866-509-4545. This is Now with Dave Brown on AMI. You've been listening to Now with Dave Brown. Hit the subscribe button on any podcast platform and leave us a rating and a review.